Guest speaker today, and Eric and I went and saw him at Tree of Life in New Braunfels several years ago, and just always were looking for an opportunity to have him here in San Marcos. And several months ago, Pastor Don Duncan, who's the pastor of Tree of Life, which, by the way, we absolutely love and are partnering with them on many things. We love Tree of Life, but he said, "Hey, Robin, do you guys want to have Joe? He's coming in September." And I said, "Yeah, the time is right." And I know, Promised Land, you're going to love to hear his ministry. He has been traveling for decades and all over the country, speaking to families and encouraging marriages and parenting relationship, kid relationship, just the whole gamut of the home. So would you please give a San Marcos welcome to Joe McGee as he's coming to speak to us today. We are so glad to have you, my friend.
Thank you, Pastor. Hello, everybody. Okay, now, I'm going to say this one time and one time only. God bless Texas. Thank you. Now, I travel. We do about 60 seminars a year. This is our 28th year. Teach on the family and marriage, parenting. And we go all over the country. I mean, we've been to Rhode Island. We were up in Connecticut a few weeks ago. And you say, "God bless Connecticut," they'll just stare at you. I kid. And we were at Montana about a month ago. I said, "Well, God bless Montana." "What for?" But I don't care where you go in Texas, Corpus Christi, Dallas, Fort, it doesn't matter where you go to Texas, say God bless Texas, there's a revival that will break out. Because Texans love Texas. And now I'm an old Tennessee boy. And all my family, my dad had 12 brothers and sisters, so did my father-in-law, so big families. And people said, "Well, y'all Catholic?" I said, "No." "Were you Mormon?" I said, "No." "Where were you?" I said, "We were backslidden Baptists. We just had children to put them to work because we lived on a farm. You didn't have babies because you like babies. You had babies to put them to work, manual labor." And so my grandmother got married when she was 15 and had her first baby before she turned 16. Never went to school a day in her life, but raised 12 great kids. And she'd tell us all the time, we start getting older, "What are we going to do?" So, well, she put all six boys in the military. All six girls went to a little two-year college up there in East Tennessee, and she'd tell them, "Y'all need to go to Texas." Why? That's where Davy Crockett went. Yeah. Davy Crockett went to Texas. Good enough for Davy Crockett, good enough for us. And so my whole family came to Texas. So we're all over the state. God bless Texas. Now, I talk fast, not because I'm in a hurry, but I grew up with a house full of women, and they didn't take turns when they talk. See? My wife still tries to slow me down. Now, I'm in my second marriage, believe it or not. Married by childhood sweetheart. Right out of school, just got out of the Army. She just graduated from high school. We got married. We were married for 45 years. Dropped six babies out of that thing. Should have dropped a dozen, but we only dropped six. But she went to heaven 5 years ago, and I don't want somebody just to shoot me. I don't know what to do. I'd only kissed one woman, only dated one woman, and I'd only loved one woman. And so she went to heaven. So for 6 weeks, I just cried. I couldn't stop crying. My kids said, "Dad, you okay? Just shut up. Leave me alone." And so 6 weeks into that, I just cried all the time. I lost about 50 pounds, which I could use, need to do that again. But anyhow, I wouldn't eat, didn't do anything. And so I woke up on a Saturday morning and I heard this voice. Now, it sounded like my wife. I knew it was God. And I heard God say, "Shut up, get up, and get busy." And I thought, "You're right." And so I haven't cried in the last 5 years, last time I cried. And people ask me, "Did you miss your first wife?" "No, I don't." "Oh, great woman. Man, did I love that woman. We kissed a lot." We didn't have six babies just because we love babies. She liked to kiss a lot, man. We kissed all the time. Lord have mercy. So anyhow, I got married again 3 years ago. And it was a couple that we'd worked on staff with years ago, and her husband had gone stupid. She'd been a single woman 12 years, and we'd helped her. We'd call about once a year. She'd check, and I'd say, "Hey, can you pray for this? How are we going through this year?" And so she lived in Florida. So my wife died. She called, "Joe, I'm so sorry about your wife." I said, "Yeah, I know." And I didn't want to talk to anybody else, so I said, "You okay?" "Yeah, whatever, just, you know." She said, "Well, I'll check on you once a month." I said, "Whatever, I don't care." And so once a month, she'd text me, and I'm not good. I got fat thumbs. I don't text real good. And so, "How are you?" "I am good." "How are the kids?" "They are fine." And so 9 months later, I got a phone call late one night, and it was her. Now, I haven't talked to her in 12 years. "Hey, Joe, how you doing?" "Hey, I haven't heard that voice in a long time." And so we got to where we'd talk. So we talked long at night. We talked 2 or 3 hours. Because she's putting in 10-hour days, big insurance company, and her husband had this big church, 3,000 people, and he went stupid and lost the church. And their marriage had fallen apart. So she's down in Florida. So we talked late at night, and two of my kids had moved back from Tennessee because my wife died. And they thought we thought we were going to be able to keep her alive. It was a brain tumor. And so she only lived 3 months and never had any pain, just fell asleep and didn't wake up. And so two of my kids, and I came out, they said, "Dad, who are you talking to?" So I'm talking to Angel. "You're talking to a who?" "No, her name's Angel. I'm talking to Angel." She said, "We sure were laughing a lot." "So, yeah, she's a funny lady. She's from Georgia. She's a funny woman." And so I went to get me some water out of the refrigerator, and they said, "Who are you talking to?" "I'm talking to Angel." And they said again, "We sure were laughing a lot." "Yes, she's a funny woman. She's from Georgia. We just relating all the stuff we've been through and how God's brought us through and come out of it." And they said a third time, "You sure were laughing a lot." I thought, is there something wrong? And so when I got home from the office the next day, all six of my adult kids were in my kitchen at the table. They were waiting on me. And I said, "Is there a problem?" "Yeah, Dad, we need to talk." "About what?" "About Angel." "What about Angel?" "Well, Dad, we don't think it's right you're talking to her." "Really? Why?" "Well, Dad, she's a woman." I said, "Well, last time I checked, half the planet's female. So I'm probably going to end up talking to a woman sometime." "Yeah, but you're talking a lot." "Yes, she's a good Southern woman. We know each other. We relate to the hell we've been through. And she lives five states away. There's nothing going on." Well, long story short, you know, I married her. And we just celebrated our third-year anniversary. And when I got remarried, I was 67, I got remarried. People said, "You getting remarried?" I said, "Yeah." And they said, "Well, why?" "Well, I think I'd like to wake up next to somebody. I think I'd like to sit across the breakfast table and drink coffee with somebody. I think I'd like to have a fight with somebody and make up. I think I still like to kiss. I'm not dead yet." And so I have two aunts that live to be 100. I have an aunt, Topeka, Kansas, that's 104 unless she died last night. My family lives for stinking ever. We're not very religious, but we scare hell. We're not going to die for a long time. I'm going to be here until I'm 100. I figure I'm going to be here when the rapture happens. And that's my personal belief. It doesn't matter what you believe, but I believe I'll be here when the trumpet sound. And I'm going up. And so I want to be the last person off this planet. I'm going to stand as long as I can. Because as long as I'm here, I'm laying up treasure in heaven. If I go home early, I'm not laying up anything. And now I'm done. So I want to stay as long as I can. So I don't know what that's got to do anything. I just thought I'd share that. Now, I'm going to be talking out of two books this morning. This looks real thick. Don't let this scare you. It's called God Knows How to Raise Your Kids, Even If You Don't. This is my parenting book. First thing I ever started teaching years ago was on parenting. And so, because my church said, "Hey, Joe, can you teach them parenting?" I said, "What for?" I said, "Well, you got a lot of kids." "Well, I don't know anything about them. I just know how to have them. I don't know anything about parenting." Now, I'm not kidding. Now, I had a degree. I'd been an engineer. I said, "Listen, I just wanted a big family. I don't want to grow up by myself. I want somebody to come take me to dinner on Sunday. I want somebody to send me on a cruise, buy me Winnebago." Now, you're laughing, but I'm very sure. I've told my kids their whole life, "You owe me." Good measure, pressed down, saying, "God bless God, you owe me. I birthed you, bathed you, taught you how to talk and walk and get yourself dressed, got you through school, helped you pass algebra, got you into college, paid for your wedding, paid for your honeymoon. Ho, 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 I'm Santa Claus. You owe me." The Bible says parents left for the children, children left for the parents. Now, you're laughing. I know you're laughing, but I'm very serious. I've told my kids their whole life. So two Christmases ago, and I tell them every Christmas, I said, "Don't you ever buy anything for me that fits in a box." I said, "I go to Walmart by myself." I said, "You buy me something, you need to drive it up the driveway. It better be a cruise going somewhere." So I've got two vehicles and three cruises out of that deal. So they save up. Dad, we're saving up. God bless you. Big Winnebago. I want a big one. And I put the pressure on them. You owe me. And people say, "I'll be glad my kid's out of the house." Not ever said that. I'll chase you down. I will chase you down. My oldest daughter and all my kids are out of college. They did real good. And because none of my family went to college, my dad went to 12th grade twice. My father only went through the 8th grade. We're a bunch of hillbilly people. But we worked hard. Went in the military, worked hard, and made good livings. And so I wanted all my kids to go to college because none of my family had ever gone. And so they're going to go to college. So I put big blank frames on the living wall one time. Big frames, double pane glass, and the brass nameplate at the bottom. And so they came home from school and said, "Dad, what's that?" "That's where you're going to hang your college degree." "Are we all going to college?" "Every stinking one of you. Did God tell you that?" "No, your mom did, and you're going. I guarantee you're going." And so one of my daughters said, "Well, what if we don't want to go?" I said, "What? What if we don't want to go?" I said, "Well, I guess that means 20 years from now, you come back to the family reunion, you'll be the only doofus with a blank frame. Because everybody else is going to go. And I'm going to make you go if I have to drag you by the hair of your head." So two of my kids get 6 years to get a 4-year degree. Because I made them go. One of them lost a degree, and I drug them by the hair of the head and got them back. You're going back. You're going back till Jesus comes. You'll be in school till Jesus comes. You're going back. I don't care if you major in water bowling and basket weaving. You're going to school. Yes, you are. I'm not going to raise a doofus. And so, anyhow, they all have degrees. They're all doing really good. A lot of those stories in this, God knew about kids. First word, you know, and Adam's on the planet, you know, God's talking and he's giving the commands to be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth. And things have a ton of kids. Now, people challenge me all the time. You think it's right to have kids? Yeah, man, you ought to have a ton of them. And I said, now listen, if you don't want kids, don't have them. It'll mess your life up. It'll make you insane and broke if you don't know what to do with them once they show up. Having kids won't make you holy, it'll make you insane. You need to want them before they show up. But I think God said it was a God idea. You know, be fruitful, multiply. God does that, having kids. And so I wanted a ton of them, but then I wanted to, when they got out of school, I want you to leave home. Now, this is the other half. You got to understand there's two halves to this. I love my kids. I got the canceled checks to prove it. But once you got married, at every wedding, I held my hand out at every wedding. I said, put your door key in my hand. And don't you ever come back to my house unless I invite you. And I'm very serious. I said, well, put your door key in my hand. Don't you come to my house unless I invite you. And if you come, you call first. Because if you pull up my driveway and you didn't call, I won't open the door. I'm not going to let you in. Because my wife and I have our life back now. You're not here. The goal of God was, God gave his children to train them up and give them back to God. I gave you back to God. You're his now. You're not mine. And if you come visit, you bring food. Now, you're laughing. I'm very serious. You come to my house, you bring food. You don't need to feed my fridge. You bring food, then you leave the leftovers with me. And you leave before it gets dark, and you take your children with you. I have 7 grandkids. None have ever spent the night with me, ever. Nor will they ever spend the night with me. And nobody's going to pee in my bed. Ain't nobody going to jump on top of me at 5 o'clock in the morning. It's not going to happen. I raise mine. You raise yours. Now, I'm a good grandfather. I'm going to take you to Disney. I'll buy you neat stuff. Man, Chris, it's going to be a wild time. We're going to rent a cabin on the weekend and have a good time. But you're not spending the night in my house in my bed. Ain't going to happen. That doesn't make me holy. It just makes me different. But somebody's got to have a standard. The problem is today, nobody's got a standard anymore. And so people look at you all the time and say, well, it's just a bad time to have kids. So where'd you get that at? That's not in the scripture. God hadn't changed his mind. It's a good time to have kids. Well, this times are bad. When were times good? I taught history for years when I was a school administrator. There's never been a good time. I had old people. My dad was the youngest of 12 kids. Those old people sit on the porch every afternoon after work. And I remember back in the good old days, the 40s. I remember the good old days back in the 30s. I said, I studied. There were no good old days. We've been a doofus for our whole life. Our greatest days are in front of us, not behind us. Everybody keeps wanting to go past. There's nothing in the past. Quit. Stay out of the past. By the way, don't take each other into their past. You married, don't ever bring up your spouse's past. That's cheating. They don't have a time machine. They can't change that. Well, did you ever do this? Did you ever do that? Doesn't matter. I'm not telling you. I don't have to tell anybody. My past is on the blood of Jesus. I don't tell anybody nothing. You remember for where we're going, not where we've been. Quit digging up your past. That'll help somebody today. Get out of your spouse's past. You can't change it. Ooh, that was good. And then this is a little book called The Four Kinds of Kids. I should have written this 40 years ago. I knew this 40 years ago, and I didn't write it. And so when we couldn't travel for 3 months, they shut down everything. I thought, hey, let's get busy. So I went to staff and said, I'm going to work you like a dog. We're going to put some books out. And now we got our own publishing company. We put up a ton of books in that 3 months. Four kinds of kids. The Bible says in Proverbs 1, there's only 4 kinds of kids. Wise, simple, foolish, and scornful. Wise kids live forever. They're filthy, stinking rich. They make a ton of money. You want a wise child. You don't want the other 3 kinds because nothing good happens to the other 3. The second kind is a simple-minded child. They're not evil, not full of the devil. They just don't know nothing. They're a doofus. You have a doofus child. What? If they stay doofus too long, they become stage 3, but they become a fool. It's sport for a fool to make mischief, the Bible says. There's more scriptures in the Proverbs on a fool than the other kind of kid. The Bible says a fool is like a dog that pukes his guts out and eats it again. You don't want to have a fool as a child. Nothing good ever happens to them. If they stay a fool too long, they go to stage 4, they become a scorner. Scorners hate everybody that's in authority. They hate their mother, hate their father, hate their teacher, hate the coach, they hate the boss, they hate the government. They hate everybody. They're the only thing that's good. I'm good. Everybody else is stupid. That's called a scorner, and nothing good happens to them. So if you just buy this book, just read the first 4. The rest is not worth reading. I'm serious. It's an $8 book. Now, you can get this in your Bible for free. The Giddens will give you one. But if you want this, it's going to cost you $8. But it's nothing but scripture. All the scripture on the four kinds of kids. Wise kids live long time, filthy, stinky rich, have favor of the king. You want a wise child. How do you get that? Well, the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. So I'll pray it this morning. I'll pray it tonight before I go to sleep. Father, I give you permission, Psalm 34:11. Teach my children to fear you. I give you permission. Teach my children to fear you. Why? The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom, Proverbs 9:10. Proverbs 1:8 is the beginning of knowledge. I want wise, knowledgeable children. I don't want to raise a doofus. I can't afford a doofus. I need you to grow up and be somebody and do something. Well, I can't do nothing. Who told you that? My daddy. Well, your daddy's an idiot. Read your Bible. You came with the book. Volume 2 is not coming out. You came with the book. Read the book. All things are possible to those that believe. Your father's in heaven right now. He's got so many angels, you can't count them. Your elder brother's praying right now for you. You got it made. Quit making excuses. Well, my daddy left my mama. My mama didn't love me. And coach wouldn't play me. And teacher wouldn't have me. And I always got somebody, some sad, thumb-sucking song. Shut your face up. Get your Bible open. Read a proverb every day. Change the way you think. So that's just a short introduction. Here's the sermon. Luke chapter 2. And I love this. Now, an old buddy in Tennessee one time said, listen, daylight, I don't need glasses. Just when I'm in man's light do I need glasses. This is Luke chapter 2. This is Jesus when he was 12 years old. He was a kid, you know. Okay, God had a problem. He made Adam, then he got Eve, and they went off fellowship that day, but the devil's been fired from his job. The devil came into the first marriage, gum flapped him out of everything. So Adam and Eve sinned. When they sinned, they got fired from the job, evicted from the house, kids start killing each other. That's in Genesis. Now, the book of Genesis covers 2,500 years, just Genesis. The entire New Testament, Matthew to Revelation, only covers 70 years. It's a new covenant, much better. And so, but you got to read how it started. What happened? Man went stupid. Well, what happened? Well, he really went stupid. And all of a sudden, you know, you got God had to show up. We got Noah in the flood. God said, I'm going to drown every stinking one of them. I'm going to drown them all and start all over with you. And he did. And so obviously it starts all over with Noah. The boat finally lands after a year in that thing. That's a nasty boat. The boat finally lands. They repopulate the earth. Then you come down to the Tower of Babel. You know, Nimrod's going to build a tower to heaven. They all think he's God. He's going to take over. So God comes down and confuses their languages. That's why you have French and Spanish and German, you got all kinds of languages. So they had to scatter again. So we're coming up on strike three, the Antichrist is coming. Going to rally the world against God. It's in Revelation, it's a great story. They made a movie about it. It ends good, by the way. Every time you read a book, well, let me give you this. I'm a newlywed. And so my wife and we have some time out. Hey, let's watch an old movie. I was okay. And every time I'll say this, how does it end? And she was, I'm not going to tell you that I'm not going to watch it. I don't watch stupid. Does it end good? If it doesn't end good, I'm not going to watch it. I remember when the Titanic came out. We were having some kids come home for Christmas from college. My daughter, they couldn't afford to go home, so we brought them out of the house. About five college kids. We're going to take them out 4 or 5 days, have a hayride, and feed them real good because they can't afford to go home. So we're renting. Blockbuster Video was still in business back then. That's how long ago it was. So my oldest daughter, she's a senior in college. I said, what are we renting? And what are we going to watch? Well, we're going to watch It's a Mad, 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 Mad World. Yeah, that's funny. What else? Well, Dad, we're renting the Titanic. The what? Well, now, Dad, we have a VCR that screens out all the sex and the bad words. There were no sex. But I said, have they changed the end of that movie? Now, Blockbuster's packed. 2 days before Christmas. It's packed. Have they changed the end of that movie? She said, what? Does that boat still sink at the end of that movie? Yeah, Dad. I said, how long is that movie? 3 hours. Baby, I'd rather go home, shove a toothpick under my fingernail, and sit there for 3 hours and spend $8 and watch that boat sink. And she said, well, it's a true story. Yeah, people going to hell still don't watch that either. Be in heaven, eating dinner, sat on my horse, getting ready to come back with Jesus. I don't watch stupid. I don't sing stupid. I don't listen to stupid. I don't read stupid. Stupid is as stupid does. That's a famous movie saying. Well, guard your heart with all diligence for out of the issues of lie. We live in the greatest day of human history. The greatest day of human history. The saints in heaven watch us run our race. Moses up there, Noah's up there, all watching us run our race. We live in the greatest time when God's Spirit is poured out without measure, Acts chapter 2. Our sons and daughters are going to prophesy and dream dreams. There's never been a better time to be alive than right now, ever. We live in the greatest day of human history. But if you're not reading your Bible, if you're watching the news, even the conservative news channels. By the way, when I grew up, news was on for 30 minutes a day, 5 to 5:30. If you don't catch the news at 5 to 5:30, you got to wait another day. Today, news is on 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on 7 channels. even the concerned channel, you'd be watching, hey, some bad news just happened. We'll be right back after this commercial. Stay tuned for some more bad news. We'll be right back. I worked on two great church staffs, spirit-filled people. Come in the morning, get my coffee, go to my, hey, did you see the news this morning? And I try not to watch that in the morning. That's not good. You see what happened in Zimbabwe and Afghanistan and Korea? I didn't watch it. I read my Bible this morning, kissed my wife, had some good time with that, and drank my coffee and ate some ham and cheese, you know? No, I didn't watch the news. You got to guard your heart because stupid's coming after you. Oh, that was good. I blessed myself. Anyhow. Short message, real short. Luke chapter 2, Jesus 12. God had a problem. He got to come to earth, but he can't. God can't come to earth. He gave the earth to Adam. Get this. God gave the earth to Adam. Adam gave it away to the devil. Satan is the legal God of this planet. That's why he steals, kills, and destroys. That's what's the bad news everywhere. Well, where's God at? Now, I'm the only preacher in my family, so I do all the weddings and funerals for free. I'm free. So, where's God at? He's in heaven. Why did God let this happen? He didn't let this happen. He's not in charge. He gave this planet to you. You're in charge. If you don't pray, nothing happens. 8 times in the New Testament, Jesus said, you have not because you ask not. Ask us to show him up and be made full. We don't pray enough, nor do we pray the right thing. God watch over his word, not what I'm going through. You got to pray God's word, not what you're going through. Here's what you promised God, and God will move, and angels will get busy. So anyhow, Adam, you get fired. So you can hear the conversation in heaven. God's up there, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. Look at him, son. Shot his foot off. I knew he's going to go stupid on me. I knew he's going to, but I got to send you down there to fix it. You're the only one I've got. But you can't go like you. A human lost it. A human's got to get it back. So God's got to find a human on earth. He just needs one. I need one human on earth that will give me his son. If I can find one human on earth that will give me his son, through his family, I can give my son. That was the whole thing about Abraham offering Isaac up on the mountain. I got to have a human offer me their son. I got to have a covenant or I cannot legally come down to that planet. So all of a sudden he strikes that covenant with Abraham when he goes to the mountain and says, don't stick that knife. I saw your heart. Your heart, you just gave me your son. So if you read Matthew chapter 1, Luke chapter 1, the family line of Mary, family line of Joseph, they go back to Abraham. God was born legal. God doesn't cheat. God does exactly what he says to his word. He doesn't lie and he doesn't cheat. So Jesus was born legal. Oh, that's so good. Jesus was born legal. So now Jesus is 12. Now he's heard all the stories, you know, mom, dad, you know, they had to run off to Egypt a couple of times. He's 12. He's heard all the stories. He's a normal kid. Probably doesn't even make his bed. Probably throws spitballs at his brothers. I mean, he's just a normal kid. You understand? He can't raise a dead goldfish. He's a 12-year-old kid. So every year they go to the 8-day festival in Jerusalem. It's about a 4-day march there, 4-day march home. There's no police back then. You went in a caravan and you had to protect one another. There's no rayback flashlight because you stopped before it got dark and you made camp. So it's an 8-day festival. They've gone for the festival. They're headed home. And it's a typical family reunion. Hey, we're all going now. And so I've been to reunions all my life. Parents don't show up until it's time to go. And so where's the kids at? They'll come in a holler. Hey, we're leaving now. Then you show up. And so I'm sure Mary just hollered. And so Jesus 12 has got 2 younger brothers by this time. They're heading home. Well, they go about 4 hours from Jerusalem. They stop in the make camp about 5 o'clock in the afternoon. Get the tent up, hook up the donkeys, get everybody fed, build a fire, cook the meal. Just get the boys in here, it's time to eat. Boys come into the tent, no Jesus. Where's Jesus at? Well, I holler for him. Well, go get him. And that's in your Bible in Luke. I'm going to shorten the story up. You can read it for yourself. Joseph comes back several hours later when it's dark. Mary says, where have you been? The food's cold. Well, I'm looking for Jesus. Well, where is he? Get him in here. Well, he's not here. What do you mean he's not here? I've been for one in the camp. That's why. And he's not here. I think we left him in Jerusalem. We left the Son of God? What kind of, we couldn't have left one of these. We leave that one of all the kids to leave. We leave that one? What kind of, and they yelled all night. Now, they don't put it in the Bible. There wasn't enough room. So the next morning, sun comes up. They hand the kids off to relatives. They hoof it back to Jerusalem. For 3 days, they're looking for the Son of God. You know, Silent Night, Holy Night, we through kings of war and are. He's been missing for 4 days. They've lost us. They probably thought, we're going to burn in hell. We're going to burn in hell. We've lost the Son of God. And so they're saying, where have we not looked? And we've been to the pool hall, the bowling alley. Where have we not looked? And all of a sudden they said, well, we've not looked in the temple. You know, he's not normal. They walk into the temple, and there's this Jesus, age 12, confounding the elders with his questions and his words and his answers. And Mary said, and of course, when mom get mad, they always drag dad on the conversation. First word, New Living Translation, why have you done this to your father and I? Joseph, he doesn't care. He's already 3 days late. Let's get home. Get up. Let's go. Why have you done this to your father? And Jesus said, know ye not, I need to be about my father's business. In other words, Jesus said at age 12, I don't know about you, I have stuff I need to be doing. What's he finding out? Who he is? He's trying to find out who he is. He doesn't know. God didn't cheat. Who's in the human body? The second member of the Godhead that holds the universe together with the power of his words. That's who's in that human body. But that human body's still trying to figure out who he is. He didn't get it until he was age 30. Now, his brothers and sisters never liked him. They never followed him in his earthly ministry. They didn't like him. We know who our father is. We don't know who your father is. Mom was sleeping around with somebody. Oh, that was in all the history books. Nobody liked Jesus. But he's running the family business because he's the eldest son. So all the brothers got to work for him. So one day he disappears. Where's he at? I don't know. He's in town. Weird stuff's happening. Eyeballs are popping in. Hands are growing out. Got to go get him. They're going to kick us out of the synagogue. So Mary and the boys went in to get Jesus. He's in a house that's packed like a sardine can. And somebody comes. And so they're trying to take the signal off, let some crippled guy down through the roof. And it's busy. So, hey, Jesus, your mother and your brothers are here. They want you to come outside. Jesus said, well, now, who is my mother? Who are my brothers? Are not these sitting here in the room? And Mary heard him. And the Bible said, Mary went, oh, I've lost him. No, you're not lost him. He's found who he is. So it's a great story. They wrote a book about it called The Bible and the Gideons to Give You One. It ends really good. So here it is. It says they left that day, Luke 2:52. And it says, and Jesus grew. He grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor of God and favor of man. Well, if Jesus grew, my kids need to grow. My kids won't grow if I don't grow. My kids are going to do what I do, not what I say. And that was a hard lesson. I learned that when I started teaching on parenting. I got to start living what I'm teaching, not yell louder. And so Jesus grew in wisdom. The Bible says wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get yourself some. James says, if you lack wisdom, ask God and he'll give it liberally and upbraideth not. I need wisdom. My kids need wisdom. I pray for them every day. Father, teach my children to fear you, for the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. I prayed that this morning. I'll pray it tonight. My oldest daughter is a college professor. Got 2 degrees. I still pray it over. Father, teach my daughter to fear you, for the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. My youngest son's newlywed, just had his first baby. He's all happy now. Father, teach my son to fear you, for the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. Don't ask for smart kids or fancy kids or famous kids. I just want kids that fear God. You fear God, you're going to be fine. I don't care what your IQ, I don't care your GPA. I don't care if they kick you out of kindergarten. If you fear God, you're going to be just fine. You know, I did a thing one time that 1,206 billionaires in America, 1,206 collected biographies on them, taught high school kids. They said all famous people and all rich. None of them finished high school. 1,206 billionaires in America, none finished high school. It's not your IQ, it's not your GPA, it's your gift from God. But if you don't know you have a gift, you'll never use it. You'll thumb suck your whole life. Well, I didn't do well in school, and I couldn't pass algebra, and I couldn't diagram a sentence. I didn't make the ball team. I didn't make first year flute. And hell shows up early after our kids. Because unless you're one of these famous ones, you're nobody. No, I'm a child of the living God. My name's written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. God's got great plans for my life. He's going to order my steps, direct my paths, guide me down to show me things to come. I got it made. But unless you start telling that, they're a messed up bunch. We're starting to see them come to the forefront as adults in our country. Who are they? Well, those are kids that were never told who they were. They think somebody owes them something. Nobody owes you nothing. Oh, that was deep. Jesus grew in wisdom. He grew in favor. How do you have favor? He do what's right. If you do what's right, people like you. They don't care if you go to church or not. Do what's right. If you go to work, show up early. Don't leave early. Stay late after work. Do something extra. That's why they give you a raise, not because you're a Christian, because you do a good job. Oh, that was deep. Number three, Jesus grew in favor with God. How do you have favor with God? When you get to heaven, you hear one thing. When I get to heaven, I'm going to say, I want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. It's not what I did. Did I do what you called and gifted me to do? I want to be good at what I'm supposed to be good at, not what you're good at. I'm not good at what you're good at. I'm not worried about what you're good at. Be good at it. God bless you. I need to be good at what I'm good at. Get very good. I want to hear, well done. You can't, listen, I've had my kids pull this. Hey, did you clean your room up? I raked the yard. I appreciate that. Did you clean your room up? I finished my homework. I appreciate that. Did you clean your room up? No. I want you to do what I ask you to do. Don't impress me with stuff I didn't ask you to do. Do what I ask you to do. It's called being willing and obedient. Then you eat the good of the land. And the last thing is Jesus grew in favor with man. So I close to this. There are more scriptures in your Bible on friendship than on the subject of heaven and hell combined. God says more about your friends than anything else. Why? You'll become like who you hang around. Like kind draws like kind. Iron strikes iron, so the kindness of a friend. Don't hang out with doofuses, you'll become one. So teach your children about friends and who they are, what they look like, and how they talk. I used to tell my kids, you hang around the locker, somebody starts talking stupid, get to your class. Don't hang around stupid talking people. Because most people don't know who they are, so they have to out-brag, out-lie, out-hurt, out-it. I caught the biggest fish, I hit the longest. No, no, who are you in here? That's what's important. So God's going to bless us. All I got to do is do the four things. Wisdom, stature, favor of God, favor of man. Let's stand up. Now, I really believe what I'm about to pray, and I pray it a lot. So just set yourself in agreement with me. Matter of fact, just keep your eyes open just a minute. Keep your eyes open and look up here. I want you to say this after me. Say, Heavenly Father. Heavenly Father. Come on, everybody. Heavenly Father, I thank you for my children. I ask you, teach my children to fear you. Surround my children with divine favor. Bring to my children godly friends. I thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Now, there's a ton of scriptures. You can get in that book. Just go to my website and you can download it for free. There's a ton of scriptures for all three of those. Start praying that over your kids every day. I don't know if your kids are 45, live halfway around the world. You still have authority over their life. So pray what God says about them. Watch God do a miracle. Amen. But yes, Father, we thank you for this time together. We ask you, Father, teach us to fear you. Surround us with divine favor and bring us godly friends. Grow us up. Put us in the middle of what you're doing in the last days. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said. Every head bowed just for 60 seconds. Nobody moving. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Just one short minute. Eyes closed, heads bowed. Two questions. Are you here this morning? Said, Joe, I do not know Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I have never, ever asked him into my heart, but God's been dealing with me, and I would like to do something about that this morning. If that's you, I'm not going to embarrass you in any way. I'm not going to call you out. I'm not going to call you forward. I'm simply going to ask you in just a few seconds, if that's you, I want you to simply raise your hand, wave at them, and put it back down. I'm going to see it. God's going to see it. If you're willing to acknowledge you need a Savior, God in heaven will save you right where you stand. Old things will pass away. All things will become new. God will make you a new creature in Christ. It's that simple. Or perhaps you hear this one, Joe, I'm saved. I just haven't been living for God lately, but I'm stirred up. I'm ready to get serious with God. Well, if that's you, you can pray the exact same prayer we're going to pray with these other people, and God in heaven will forgive you every sin you've ever committed in a moment of time. He'll take your sin as far as the east is from the west, put it in the depths of the sea. There'll be no record of your sin in heaven, and God will make the devil pay back seven times whatever he stole from you. It will never get easier than this. So with every head bowed, every eye closed, said, Joe, that's me. I need to get born again this morning. Would you pray that prayer over me? Joe, that's me. I'd like to rededicate my life. If that's you on the end count right now, would you just get your hand up and wave it at me and put it back down? Brother Joe, pray for me. I want to know I'm right with God. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Anyone? Yes, thank you. Anyone else? It'll never get easier this. Thank you, sir. God does a saving. God does a forgiving. He just... Anyone else? Anyone else? All right. Hands down, heads bowed, and eyes closed. Here's what we're going to do. Those of you that raise your hands, we're going to pray with you, and God's going to do the two greatest miracles he can do. He's going to save souls and forgive sins. So people, let's help them pray. Everybody in here, say this after me. Say, Heavenly Father, I thank you for Jesus. I do believe he is your son. He died for me, and you raised him from the dead. I ask him now, Lord Jesus, come into my heart, save me, forgive me of my sin. I receive you by faith with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. And the Father, for the hands that went up this morning, either for the first time ever or as a simple reaffirmation of their faith in you according to your word and their obedience, as of right now, they are cleansed, forgiven, blood-bought, born-again children of God. Jesus Christ is their Lord. The devil's not their Lord anymore. They are your sheep. You're their shepherd. They're going to hear your voice, and the voice of a stranger they will not follow. Lord, as they lead today, surround them with divine favor. Bring some godly friends into their life to strike iron with. Cause them to be all you want them to be in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Give the Lord a hand clap, people.
Amen. 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 Thank you so much, Pastor Joe. Thank you all for being here today. I want to give you a little teaser for next week. Erica is going to join me up here, and we're going to tackle a topic next week that I don't, personally, I've never heard it talked about in church, And so I'm excited about bringing that to Promised Land. And I want your imagination just to kind of go, okay? Just go this week and think, what are they going to talk about? It's going to be good. It's going to be a little controversial. It's going to be educational. And so I would love for you to come back next week and have a blessed, blessed day today. Enjoy this amazing Texas climate out there. It's nice and sunny and beautiful. Be blessed. May the Lord bless you and keep you, and go out and be the light of the world in Jesus' name. You're dismissed. We love you. Have a great week.